from KQED.
It's Morning Edition on KQED. I'm Brian Watt. This month, they'll cut the ribbon on a massive expansion of the Panama Canal, allowing much larger cargo ships to transfer between oceans. The ships keep getting bigger, and even the newly expanded locks that lift the vessels up and over the Isthmus of Panama can barely keep up. Here in the Bay Area, more than a half a century ago, scientists and engineers at Lawrence Livermore National Lab were planning a new Panama Canal that would do away with locks altogether. But it didn't happen. KQED science editor Craig Miller tells us why.
The Panama Canal has always been in a kind of losing race with the shipping industry. Almost from the moment it first opened in 1914, engineers dreamed of building a bigger passage between the seas so bigger ships could squeeze through. And in the 1950s, they thought they'd found a way.
To perform a multitude of peaceful tasks for the betterment of mankind, man is exploring a source of enormous, potentially useful energy, the nuclear explosion.
The nuclear arms race was underway, and politicians and scientists began to look for ways to harness the power of the atom for peaceful purposes.
The United States is conducting, for the benefit of all nations, a program it calls Plowshare.
Project Plowshare was hatched in 1957 at what was then called the Lawrence Radiation Lab, later prudently renamed Lawrence Livermore National Lab. At the head of the project, legendary physicist Edward Teller, who starred in promotional films for the program.
We can move with nuclear explosions great amounts of Earth very cheaply.
Teller was a key figure in the Manhattan Project to develop the first atomic bomb, and so instrumental in the next generation of nuclear weapons, he was known as the father of the hydrogen bomb.
Actually, we can engage in something that I would like to call geographical engineering.
Geographical engineering. And if you're out to rearrange some geography, what better way to impress than carving out a whole new canal? Teller's team considered a couple of dozen routes through Panama, Colombia, and Nicaragua. They would blast all the way down to sea level with dozens of thermonuclear detonations. And they'd do it, they figured, at a cost in today's dollars less than it took to build the new Bay Bridge.
It was a miracle. It was a brand new form of energy, and they saw all the possibilities.
Tom Ramos is a physicist and unofficial historian at Lawrence Livermore National Lab.
It was exotic. It was crazy. But what it does indicate is it was everything was wide open. I mean, people were just, no idea was too crazy or too stupid. Just put it out there.
And they did. There were plans for a whole new harbor in Alaska to support the oil industry. And yes, a nuclear version of fracking in the oil patch. And for the new Interstate 40 and the Santa Fe rail line, a shortcut through the Bristol Mountains and the Mojave Desert blasted out with nukes.
Make a road through them. The mountains, divert a river for agricultural things. All these needs of mankind we can take care of.
That's John Goffman, who was head of biology and medicine at the lab in the early 1960s while much of this was going on. He died in 2007, but when I spoke with him in the mid-1990s, he still had some strong views about Plowshare.
I said it's biological insanity.
As the man responsible for the health effects of the program, Goffman thought the public messaging was more than a little sketchy.
They'd say, look, there'll be some radioactivity here, but not to worry. It's below the threshold of any harm.
Goffman spent much of his career arguing that there was no known safe level of radiation exposure. But at the dawn of the atomic age, he found it tough going against the bloom of nuclear enthusiasm.
The peaceful atom is here now to serve what President Eisenhower has termed the needs rather than the fears of mankind.
Common sense was a little bit in short supply at the high levels. Washington was backing it. This whole crazy idea was getting good backing at all levels of government and science.
Goffman saw Plowshare as basically PR for the nuclear weapons program, an excuse to keep building bombs when new treaties were putting a damper on testing. Others aren't so sure.
Well, it may have been in part a public relations campaign, but it was nonetheless real.
Scott Kirsch is a geographer at the University of North Carolina and author of a book about the unrealized dream of nuclear earth moving.
Many of them really were true believers who, I think, believed that these radioactive hazards could be controlled. They wanted to turn the bomb into something good.
Teller was perhaps the ultimate true believer. The age of 92, still in his office at Stanford, he told me in comments that have never been broadcast until now why he thought his vision was never realized.
Fear.
Fear, he said.
Unjustified fear of radiation.
Teller also made a chilling prediction in that 1999 interview that nuclear excavation is an idea whose time would come again.
Everything that can be done will be done. Tenfold over. My worry is it will not be done in the United States.
That much is probably a safe bet. But around the time I was talking to Teller, China was evaluating the use of nukes for some of its civil engineering mega projects.
I don't rule anything out.
Scott Kirsch.
I think what happened was the radioactive hazards were far too great to be controlled. And I think most would evaluate the hazards as far greater than the possible virtues.
As for Project Plowshare, most of it never got off the drawing board. They did a fair amount of testing, at one point blasting out a crater in southern Nevada, a quarter mile across and deep enough to bury a 30-story building. But by the early 60s, nuclear test ban treaties made it virtually impossible to gather the data needed to continue. The Soviets did a couple of projects, but for practical purposes, the dream of atomic earth moving remains just that. I'm Craig Miller, KQED News.
You'll find extended excerpts of Craig Miller's 1999 interview with Edward Teller at kqed.org/science. You're listening to Morning Edition on KQED.
Support of KQED Science is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, Hope Lab, and the George G. and Jeanette A. Stewart Charitable Trust.